CQ. This is KAHJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. CQ.
This is
Kilo Charlie 3, Papa Tango Charlie.
Kilo Charlie 3, Papa Tango Charlie. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
I am doing very well. Weather was beautiful here in Ohio. 76 degrees. No humidity or very light humidity. It was a great day to ride the Harley.
Roger, roger. Don't have a Harley to ride, but I had my Silverado and I had all the windows down. It was about the same here, maybe a little bit warmer. Humidity was relative, but it was a beautiful day nonetheless.
That is a true statement. So Pennsylvania was a nice day also, huh?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't ask for it to be better. It was beautiful.
All right, Mr. Campbell, well, thank you. I've got you down on the list as after I do the opening, you'll be the first one I call on.
I'll be around for a little bit, so, yep, absolutely, looking forward to it.
All righty, sir. Thank you for stopping by for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is KAHJOY looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. CQ. Good evening. KCH, I'm typing as I'm saying it. EHMNR. Mr. Clint, up there in Michigan behind enemy lines, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. I hope you're doing all right.
Thank you for checking in. You are number three on the list. So CQ. This is KAHJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
KO4FE.
Mr. Bill, good evening. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, and I went out riding to enjoy the nice weather today, like yourself. So I'm ready for the net. So back to you, Bob.
Alrighty. Well, I took the Harley out. I took the GPS off of the handlebar mount and put my Alinco UHF radio on it. Put the headphones on, the boom mic, my helmet, and made a ride of about 20 miles, probably more like 25 miles, to get to a group of hams to have a lunch. And then rode back. So it was a great day, and the radio worked fine on the motorcycle.
Huh, that's a new one. I didn't, well, I've got a setup for the GPS, but not the ham rig.
Yeah, it's a mount. I don't remember the name of the mount, but my Garmin, the weatherproof Garmin, slides in, and there's a button, and the button locks it, so they can't be stolen. And then you have this little plastic tool that you push into the back of it, it releases it. Then I have a second mount, and that's where my Alinco is mounted. I plug it into the cigarette lighter. The CB antenna on my tour box is a UHF antenna, not a CB antenna anymore. And it's wired all the way to the front of the motorcycle to the fairing. So I connect the small jumper to the radio. And I got some cables that run to my headset, and the push-to-talk is near my clutch.
How do you tune the antenna?
Well, I parked it outside, and I had the wife sit on the motorcycle, and I used an SWR meter, and just, I think I only had to trim it one or two times, and the SWR was pretty good, and that's where I left it.
Huh, yeah, that's interesting. What band?
I'm using an Elinco single band. It's UHF, so it's on 70 centimeters. That's where most of the repeaters are on that I talk around here. So I just use the, I think it's a DJ-D47. It's a weather-resistant Elinco.
Oh, okay, I got it. You're using, I thought you were talking about using a HF rig on there. I was going to say that'd have to involve some finagling, but okay, you got a UHF rig. All right, that makes sense. All right, Bob, we'll let you get back to it. K-A-J-O-Y, K-O-4-F-E, go ahead and pick up some more check-ins, Bob.
All righty, Bill, thanks for the quick QSO. This is K-A-H-J-O-Y for the Saturday Night Liberty Net, looking for check-ins.
Well, good evening, Bob. K-A-H-J-O-Y, Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie. I'll copy.
You're a little light. You're only about 20 over right now. Do you have the amp on or off?
No amp. The amp is at the aid station.
Well, you're doing pretty good then with no amp.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Well, we made it in, so I'm here. Anyway, back to you, Mr. Bob K, J-O-Y, and Saturday Night Liberty Net.
All righty, Mr. Jesse. Is Robbie going to check in?
I'm not sure. He hasn't got in yet. He works that second shift.
All righty. Well, if he gets in, give me a shout, and I'll add him to the list. Why don't I just put him underneath you, and then if he's there, he's there, and if he's not, he's not.
Okay, Roger, Roger.
You'll have to give me his call.
That would be K-O-4. GST, Golf Sierra Tango.
I think I did it wrong. I got K-O-4, but I don't think it's O. What is it again?
Kilo Oscar 4, Golf Sierra Tango.
Alrighty, my mistake. Alrighty, let me correct that and I'll move on.
Okay, Roger, Roger. Back to net control. And 4 all of you.
Hello, Mr. Larry. Let me put Robbie in. I'll be right back to you. Mr. Larry, I've got you in. CQ, CQ, looking for some additional check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is K-A-H-J-O-Y.
42 Golf India, Oscar.
Mr. Frank, you know, some of them I remember and some I don't, but boy, yours is one that just stays on my mind.
Yeah, gee, I overslept.
No, I think it's because what you say before you sign off that keeps me thinking about it.
Well, you know, it keeps me thinking about it too, and I tell you, the more people I tell, the better off I feel.
I like that. Well, let me open the door, and then I'll check one more time, and we'll get this party started. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by the late Victor, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the Great Liberty Net. With that being said, I'll open with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That being said, let me check one more time. TQ, see if any additional check-ins. Nothing heard, so I'm going to start off an article from the Epic Times. They've named the police officer who killed the unarmed protester Ashley Babbitt. Most police departments, including Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Police, are required to release an officer's name within days of a fatal shooting. Not the U.S. Capitol Police, which is controlled by Congress and answers only to Congress. People like that crazy Nancy Pelosi. It can keep the public in the dark until the identity investigation of an officer involved in a shooting indefinitely, which is what happened with the January 6th shooting of Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed protester in the U.S. Capitol riot. It wasn't a riot, but in the U.S. Capitol, who was fatally wounded by a plainclothes police lieutenant as she attempted to breach the set doors inside the building. For the past 6 months, as Congress has proposed legislation to reform police departments across the country, the Capitol Police have stiff-armed government watchdogs, journalists, and even the lawyers for Babbitt, who have sought the identity of the officer and additional details about the shooting. The USCP still refuses to release his name, in stark contrast to recent high-profile police shootings around the nation. In February, USCP issued a press release promising to share additional information once the investigation was complete. Yeah, you can believe that. But Justice Department investigators closed their probe in April, clearing the officer of criminal wrongdoing in Babbitt's death. He shot and killed an unarmed female veteran, Macy, which the medical examiner, however, ruled a homicide. And last month, the D.C. Police, which shares jurisdiction with the Capitol Police and has led the investigation into Ashley Babbitt's shooting, concluded its own internal review of the shooting without making any findings, according to the spokesman for USCP. That's my department attorneys for you, U.S. Capitol Police Labor Committee Chairman Gus Pamp. Boy, what a name. Papa Tourism told Real Clear Investigation. There is definitely a transparency issue. The department needs to answer these questions. They're stonewalling the public. With only the name of the officer who fired the fatal shot, the only round fired by anyone during that four-hour event, has brought speculation on the internet and led to the mistaken identity of U.S. Capitol Police Special Agent David Bailey, who was wrongly fingered for the shooting. After he was cleared, they then said Lieutenant Michael L. Byrd, B-Y-R-D. And while the USCP director won't confirm he's a shooter, they won't deny it either. Let me get down here. Byrd appears to match the description of the shooter, while video footage shows an African-American dressed that day in a business suit, jewelry, including a beaded bracelet and lapel pin, also matches with the photos of Byrd. Phone calls and emails to Byrd, who lives in Maryland, while he remains unpaid administrative leave, were unanswered. His attorney would neither confirm nor deny that the 53-year-old Byrd is the shooter, and warned that disclosing his name poses a safety risk. Well, that's nice, but of course LeBron James, when he put the name out of the Columbus officer who fired upon the black female that was stabbing the other black female, that was okay. So with that being said, I won't read any more. We've got a name now, and hopefully we will find out more about this wrongful shooting, or as it is, as a homicide. With that being said, let me wake up my computer. Mr. Kim in Havertown, Pennsylvania, KC3-PTC. What have you to open up with? Over.
Well, you picked a good topic there with the shooter. I think it's time that we all find out about that. It's a travesty that that we don't know the name of the officer. My theory was that maybe it was an FBI agent or a CIA agent dressed as a Capitol Police officer, but it sounds like from what I picked up from what you were saying that they have an identity now, which I still question because it took them way too long to come up with it. It's just another way that these communists that are in charge are trying to destroy this country and express their hatred towards this country. Just like the ones like Cori Bush, who hates this country every day of her life, except for payday. With that, I'm going to send it back to net control. I'm going to listen out a little bit. I've got an early net to do myself in the morning, so I'm probably not going to stick around much longer, but my eyes are starting to get heavy. But God bless America. Keep your powder dry, and we got to unite.
All righty, Mr. Kim. Thanks for stopping by. Please come back again. I will check on you in the second round. If you're there, you're there. If you're not, well, so be it. But thank you. Thank you for coming along with us. With that, I'm going to clear with KC3PTC, and I'm going to wander down to Clint behind enemy lines in Eaton Rapids, Michigan. KC8, Echo Hotel Romeo. Mr. Clint, good evening. It's up to you.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Look at the left.
You were talking about the election. I think it's interesting. I haven't read the article yet.
Kamala Harris, voter ID.
It's interesting. You cannot go to Drug Mart or Walgreens and get a lousy package of Zyrtec, an antihistamine, without an ID or a driver's license. Why would we let people vote for the most powerful office in America without an ID? Everybody has some form of an ID that wants one. They either drive a motor vehicle or they have a state ID so they can take out a library book or get their EBT card or get their SSI. They have to have an ID. Why they keep on whining and crying that it's racist to require people to have an ID is beyond me.
Because it's their right.
With that being said, thank you, Clint. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Bill, KO4FE. Bill, you have a strong signal tonight. KAHJOY.
Okay. KAHJOY. Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, of course, we know why they don't want IDs, because that way they can, it makes it easier to cheat. That's the Democrat way. And like you say, you got to have an ID for damn near everything. It's hard to think of. I mean, you don't need an ID to buy fast food, but you need an ID to buy cigarettes. Beer. I mean, I get carded. Hell, I'm in my 60s and I still get carded if I want to buy a pack of beer. I mean, it's like a joke. The person behind the counter realizes it's stupid. But I can't even buy a six pack of beer or anything like that without an ID. Seems kind of silly not to have an ID to vote. Of course, you know, the liberals, in their mind, and actually I would call it a white supremacist, it's true racial supremacy, because basically, and this has been confirmed when they've done these interviews, on the street interviews on some of these liberal colleges, and they ask them why they oppose voter ID, and these young idiots will say, well, you know, you can't, that would keep black people from voting. They say, well, why do you think black people don't have IDs? And they'll say, well, you can't, you know, black people are disadvantaged and they're this and they can't, don't have access. So then they go to a black neighborhood and they go around, they say, do you have an ID? And black people were there, yeah, I got an ID. You ever have any trouble getting an ID? No, I don't have no trouble getting an ID. I carry one all the time. And they said, well, apparently there's some college students across town that think black people are incapable of getting an ID, and they just look at them like they're out of their mind. Of course black people got IDs and everything else, cell phones, they're using the internet, and like everybody else. It's these liberals that have this idea that black people are just incapable of getting an ID. I don't know, I guess they think they're too dumb to go to the damn DMV and ask for one. I don't know. But it was funny to get the contrast between the two groups, between the liberal, the young liberal dummies at these colleges, and then they actually interviewed regular blacks on the street in these towns, asking them, well, why do you think these people think you can't get an ID? And they're just, they don't know what to say. They're like, I don't know, we all got IDs. Well, anyway, it's just a stupid argument. It's just a way they can, you know, get voter fraud in. That's all they care about. All right, we got a Washington Post. They're upset. This is Breitbart. Headline, Washington Post warns calling food exotic reinforces xenophobia and racism. I mean, is there any damn thing on this, in this country, that isn't racist, white supremacy, you know, xenophobic? I mean, it's even getting down to where food, or talking about food. Listen to this insanity coming. You know, I can remember when the Washington Post used to be a legitimate newspaper where they covered straight news. You know, you could get good articles on what was going on in the world or what was happening in Washington. And now it's turned into nothing more than a Marxist lie paper. But listen to this. It says, referring to food as exotic creates distance between individuals and groups and reinforces xenophobia and racism, according to a recent Washington Post article, which instead suggests people, now listen to this, it suggests people ask themselves why they are unfamiliar with certain foods and question their willingness to change that. I guess every person is supposed to be familiar with every possible dish that's ever made in the entire world. No matter where it's from, you should have tried it at least once, or else you're a racist. That's what they're insinuating. But anyway, it says the Thursday article written by the paper's food section staff writer, Daniela Galarza, entitled Stop Calling Food Exotic, begins with by quoting a couple who praised Afghan restaurants and referred to the cuisine served as exotic in an old Post essay. Though she admitted the couple meant no harm, their use of the term exotic indicates that they see the world through a presumptive Anglo-centric perspective, according to Galarza. Yeah, everything's sinister, everything's racist. narrow-minded. Anyway, it says after receiving letters from readers critical of her inclusion of exotic spices and ingredients in her Eat Vera See, I don't know what this word is. It's another one of these liberal terms that I never heard of. Food theme newsletter, she claimed that the word hit her like a slap, leading her to conclude it had lost its essential meaning. What's exotic to you isn't exotic to my neighbor. Might not exotic to be exotic to my mom. Probably won't be exotic to my best friend, she wrote. Well, who gives a damn? You know, things mean different things to different people. She also claimed that the use of the term, particularly regarding food, quote, indirectly lengthens the metaphysical distance between one group of human beings and another, and in so doing reinforces xenophobia and racism. Only a communist would say something like that. Galarza then quotes Chandra D.L. Waring, professor of sociology, naturally, at University of Massachusetts Lowell, who claimed that the term is only used to describe something non-white. Well, I don't know about that. It just means something different, something, you know. Everybody knows what the term means. There's no racial intent. It just means, I mean, nobody talks about Chinese food being exotic. It's just different. Exotic is like what they showed in the picture there, a plate full of bugs. You know, that's exotic. That's something you'd never think of normally eating. But anyway, says I've never heard the word exotic used in reference to something as white. Well, so what? Who cares? What difference does it make? I mean, white people do share a common cultural and geographic origin where certain foods, even though they may be made different from country to country, they all got the same basic ingredients. Wheat, potatoes, beans, everybody, you could go to Russia, you could go to England, you know, they're all using some variation of the same ingredients. So if somebody put a plate full of locusts in front of you, you'd probably say that was exotic for normal reasons. But anyway, continuing with the article, it says, you know that exotic means other or different from the dominant white perspective, because no one ever says, I'm going to go on an exotic vacation, I'm going to Lowell, Mass. Well, I don't know what, you know, these arguments become completely silly at some point. Says, or nobody says, let's go to that exotic new restaurant. Let's go to McDonald's, she added. Well, McDonald's isn't exotic. Actually, it's mundane. It's institutional. It's common. There's nothing special about it or unusual. Like ethnic and alien, the word exotic was invented to describe something foreign. Well, that kind of is what the word's used to describe. Galarza wrote, despite admitting that foreign often implies something positive, claiming that language is never inherently neutral, argues that the supposed history of the term is inseparable from its usage. So language is never neutral. You can't just say anything and it has to have a political meaning. That's typical Marxist thinking. She says, it's been a long time since European explorers traveled the world in pursuit of wealth, spices, coffee, tea, chocolate, and places they would colonize for people they would enslave. Yeah, notice how they describe that. In short, things they would label as exotic. But that history is inextricably from the word she wrote before quoting others who agree. I can't read this crap. You know, this is like you can't get away from it. You can't even eat without them coming up with this nonsense. All right, here's another one. Gateway Pundit, more of the brainwashing. This is the anti-white brainwashing, this time in the schools. Listen to this. Dozens of school districts are using a book that claims whiteness is the devil and that white children sell their soul for stolen land and stolen riches. Yeah, here's one page from the book. It says whiteness is a bad deal. It always was. And then it says, some of this stuff I can't even read it. It's just, this is pre-genocide propaganda, because where it all ends is they're just gonna want to start killing white people. That's where this is all leading to. Anyway, it says investigative journalist and avid CRT opponent Chris Rufo has identified over 30 school districts across 15 different states that are teaching the radical anti-whiteness book, Not My Idea, by Anastasia Higginbotham. Rufo notes that the book, meant for children as young as kindergartners, traffics in noxious principles of race, essentialism, collective guilt, and anti-whiteness. One part includes images portraying whiteness as the devil, offering the reader a contract that binds them to whiteness in exchange for stolen land and the ability to mess endlessly with the lives of people of color. Jesus. The book teaches children to primarily identify by their skin color while it paints white children as evil, saying whiteness is a bad deal. It always was. Another page says racism is a white person's problem and we're all caught up in it. I mean, how long does this stuff go on? I mean, this is worse than what the Nazis put out about the Jews. And we see where that ended up. Now they're doing the same thing against white people. It says, Not My Idea is a clear example of how CRT brands white children as oppressors that should feel shame for the color of their skin. In June, a law firm associated with Rufo filed a lawsuit in Illinois against a school district for instructing teachers to read the book along with others and use it in their curriculum. Parents across the country have been pushing back against this racist, anti-American indoctrination by speaking up against the teachers and the school boards. Despite their opposition, the largest teachers union in the country approved a plan last week to promote critical race theory across all 50 states and their 14,000 school districts. Some states like Oklahoma and Florida have stepped up, banned CRT from the schools, but we need to do more of the same. Yeah, this is getting out of hand. You know, there were people 30 years ago, and I was one of them, that was warning about this and how it could end up to this point, but even I didn't think it would get this blatant. But there you have it. You know, your kids are being brainwashed with extreme anti-white propaganda. I mean, this the kind of stuff should be against the law. Where's all the civil rights departments in the government? You know, if they were saying any of this stuff against any other ethnic group, there'd be lawsuits all over the place, and the government would probably be sending in the police and the FBI to shut these schools down for civil rights violations. This is a bunch of baloney. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Check in.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE. KAAJOY. You were talking about the exotic. Well, an exotic food would be more like an intriguing, a special food. How does something that's intriguing or special or not the normal become so racist, over?
Well, it's just another damn excuse to bash white people. That's all it is. I mean, everybody, you know, it doesn't mean anything negative. It's just they use everything to bash white people. Doesn't matter what it is. They're always coming up with new tactics.
New ways to hate the white. Kind of a shame. And we definitely aren't unifying like Sippy Cup Joe was going to unify. All we're doing is dividing more and more and more. Thank you, Bill, KO4FE, K-A-H-A-O-Y. I'm going to stop and say hi to Miss Laura and Mr. Barty, N2JTTF, and N2IRJ. Good evening to both of you. That takes me down to Mr. Jesse and the great fraudulent state of Pennsylvania. KG4, GX and a C, K-A-H-J-O and a Y.
Check in.
Okay, Bob, get these check-ins and I'll be right here.
All righty, I heard two people say the word check-in. Just come back to me.
Kilo 4, Whiskey X-ray.
Alpha Bravo 4, Charlie Juliet.
All righty, I couldn't write them down because they were fixing. So one of them is Kilo 4. Let me have that one.
That's Kilo 4, Whiskey X-ray. You can't hear me, Bob? Over.
Russ. Yes, I do hear you. There was some interference from the other station. I've got you down. The next station was something Julia. Can I have that one again? The station that had two Julias. Can I have your call phonetically?
Victor Echo 3, Foxtrot Julia.
Alrighty, I think you're saying Kilo X-ray, no, Kilo Echo 3, Foxtrot, Juliet?
Negative. Victor Echo 3, Foxtrot, Juliet.
Alrighty, my mistake. Thank you very much. Do I have anybody else that wants to check in?
Juliet,
hold on a second. You talked over the other one. How about the gentleman that gave me his call again? Can I have it another time?
There's Alpha Bravo 4 station in there, but I didn't get the rest of it.
Bravo 4 station, can I have your full call?
Charlie Juliet, PJ, AD4CK.
Alrighty, I'm sorry, there's some static. I know it's Alpha Bravo 4, Charlie, I need the last letter.
Juliet.
I said Juliet, Bravo.
Any chance, Larry, you heard the last letter?
Juliet.
All righty. Let me write these down and I'll be right back.
Oh, devil don't want me in here tonight.
All righty. So the Victor Echo 1 is Mr. Flynn. And Charlie Juliet is Mr. Al. Thank you for jumping in there. And you, Mr. Russell, also. I'm going to go back up to Jesse. He's the sixth one on the list. Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-ray, and a Charlie. Go ahead, Mr. Jesse.
Okay, very good, Bob. And the Saturday night living net, this is KG4ZXE out of the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania. Once again, this is the Saturday night living net, and thank you for running the net, Bob. And Bill, 40 over F9, so wow, big signals tonight, guys. Yeah, a little bit noisy, but still readable, and I'm hearing everybody okay, I guess. Before I make a transmission, how am I coming in, Bob?
You're about 25 over to me in Ohio.
Okay, very good. Well, let me start off tonight with something I thought was pretty interesting. And this is all to everybody here in the great state of Pennsylvania, in the voter fraud state here. I just want to let everybody know I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly, but I'm going to get it as close as I can. Anyway, this is off of Gateway Pundit. Senator Mastrino responds to Pennsylvania Secretary of State's unlawful directive order, counties to ignore state Senate audit request. Whether anybody out there actually heard the news, now Pennsylvania is trying to stop their audit. What did these people hide in, Bob? I'm still kind of confused on this whole incident. Because if he won fair and square, then, what's the problem I keep seeing and what I keep asking myself? Well, anyway, you can answer that in a minute, Bob. But anyway, earlier this week, Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastrino initiated a full forensic audit of the 2020 presidential election on several Pennsylvania counties. They're looking at some true business here, and getting down to it anyway. This news has obviously shocked the Democratic state leaders in Pennsylvania. Late Friday, the Pennsylvania Department of State issued a directive prohibiting the county election board from cooperating with the Senate election audit. Personally, I don't think they have anything to do with that, but unfortunately, these are more threats. Anyway, according to the directive from the Security of State Office, election officials may not turn over election material to third parties. The Arizona State has decided to recount all the ballots audited in Maricopa County also as well. I just want to backtrack just a second here. The Secretary of State Office, election officials may not turn over election materials to third parties. It also says any equipment turned over to a third party cannot be used again in an election. The state will not reimburse counties for the cost of the replacement equipment. Well, Bob, I'm going to ask you this, and anybody else out there wants to comment on this one, but I'm still kind of concerned with why a third party is a problem when Dominion itself is a third party outside the United States entity that allow them to count our elections. Well, personally, third party is third party, whether this hypocrisy continues this way, but that's all this is. And everybody needs to be aware of what's actually happening. Anyway, Senator Doug Mastrino later posted a response to the overreach by the Secretary of State. Mastrino understands the power of legislators to oversee elections and conduct investigations to serve the constitutional purpose. Senator Mastrino responded, and he pretty much told him off in a news feed earlier today. All right, well, anyway, that's what I'm going to tie it up with tonight there, Bob, for the time being. So thank you, sir, for running the net and everybody's checking in. This is KG4ZXNC out of the very far state of Pennsylvania, back to net control on the Saturday night living net. Take it away, Bob.
All righty, Mr. Jesse, thank you. Is Mr. Robbie in yet or not?
Negative.
Okay, I will skip over him. KG4ZXNC, thank you. K-A-H-A-O and a Y. I'm going to skip over to Robbie and I'll catch him maybe on round number two. That takes me to Mr. Larry. N4ROQ in the great state of Tennessee. This is K-H-A-O-Y.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Hey, I found the summary of the information from the military. I thought I'd read this. So you don't get to hear much UFO stuff here, and I'll just put this in here while there's a lot of people still listening. Regarding in 2004, the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group did see some UFOs, I'll call them. I think they're trying to call them AAVs now, Anomalous Aerial Vehicles. Or I'm going to still call them UFOs, unidentified flying objects. But there were a bunch of them around the coast of California back in 2004. This is an older thing that the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group saw hundreds of them during a whole week. They would come and go, and a couple of them got real close to their strike group, and they sent out two FA-18Fs with a radar and a whole bunch of stuff. And this is the summary. I was lucky enough to get the summary, executive summary from the military. It was right on the internet, and I picked it up and copied it off before it got taken off the on YouTube. Here's Thomas to read this, so I think you'll like this. It said, during the period of approximately 10 through 16 of November of 2004, so that's the 10 through the 16th, they were out there doing maneuvers. The Nimitz Carrier Strike Group was operating off the western coast of the United States in preparation for their deployment to the Arabian Sea. The USS Pratt on several occasions detected multiple anomalous aerial vehicles, that's AAVs. I'm going to call them UFOs to make it simple. They were operating in around the vicinity of the Carrier Strike Group, which is a Nimitz Carrier Strike. They had no fear of them. They were just flying all around. The AAVs would descend very rapidly from approximately 60,000 feet to approximately 50 feet in a matter of seconds. They would then hover or stay stationary on the radar for a short time and depart at high velocities and turn rates. On November the 14th, after again detecting the UFOs, the USS Preston took the opportunity of having a flight of two FA-18Fs returning from a training mission to further investigate the UFOs. The USS Preston took over control of the FA-18s from the E-2C Airborne Early Warning Aircraft. So we had one of those big aircraft in the sky that's got the big dome on top, and vectored in the FA-18 for intercept, leading to visual contact approximately 1 mile away from the UFO, which was reported to be an elongated egg or a tic tac. Some of you people have heard of the tic tac UFO. With a discernible midline horizontal axis, it was solid white, smooth with no edges. It was uniformly colored with known sails, pylons, or wings. It was approximately 46 feet in length, so they could measure this on the radar when they were real still. They could see them on the radar. 46 feet in length. The FA-18's radar could not obtain a lock on the UFOs. However, it could be tracked while stationary in its slower speed with a forward-looking infrared, that's FLIR. The AAV or UFO did take evasive actions upon intercept by the FA-18s, demonstrating an advanced acceleration, aerodynamic, and propulsion capability. The UFO did not take any offensive action against the Carrier Strike Group. However, given its ability to operate unchallenged in close vicinity to the Carrier Strike Group, it demonstrated the potential to conduct undetected reconnaissance, leaving the Carrier Strike Group with a limited ability to detect, track, or engage a UFO. So, I mean, we got all kinds of advanced radars, even in 2004, pretty much ineffective against the UFOs. Here's some assessments they're saying. This is not very much longer. It says the UFO AAV or UFO was no known aircraft or air vehicle currently in the inventory of the United States or any foreign nation. The UFO exhibited advanced low observable characteristics at multiple radar bands, rendering U.S. radar-based engagement capabilities ineffective. So we were very ineffective against their seeing these UFOs unless they were just sitting still. They started moving. We lost all trace of them. The UFOs exhibited advanced aerodynamic performance with no visible control surfaces and no visible means to generate lift. The UFO exhibited advanced propulsion capability by demonstrating the ability to remain stationary with little to no variation in altitude, transitioning to horizontal and or vertical velocities far greater than any known aerial vehicle with little to no visible signature. The UFO possibly demonstrated the ability to cloak. Here we go now. These things can cloak or become invisible to the human eye or human observation. The UFO possibly demonstrated a highly advanced capability to operate under sea. Now, it did show that it did go down in the sea at times, and it was completely undetectable by our most advanced sensors. We even had a submarine down under the water, and it couldn't detect it with a submarine radar while it was. So these things are thousands of knots. Millions of years ahead of us. So, thought I'd read that. This is, you can get it on Google. Just Google Nimitz Carrier Strike Group and the Tic Tac UFOs. If you just put Tic Tac UFOs in there, you probably can read a lot of good stuff about them. So anyway, very interesting. Everybody needs to read that. I don't think there's anything out there flying around that's unusual. We can't get any news on it. Google them and you can find a whole bunch of stuff, especially on this. And there's a bunch of them. It wasn't just one or two. Many of them they noticed during that time period of November the 10th through the 16th of 2004. Back to you, Bob, from N4ROQ on the Liberty Net. This is Larry in Tennessee. Back to Nick.
Thank you, Mr. Larry. N4ROQ KHOI. What is the term they're using instead of saying UFO?
They started using AAV, Anomalous Aerial Vehicle. Anomalous Aerial Vehicle, AAV. Back to you.
Interesting. We just can't call it what we've called it for years. Thank you, sir. N4ROQ KHOI. Down to Mr. Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar. Mr. Frank in Fishkill, New York. How are you, and what do you have to say?
Okay, W2GIO. And I'm here, present. I was reading an article one of my IBM retired buddies sent me, and it was a woman wrote a letter, a poison pen letter to AARP, and she was a patriot, because AARP was asking people to renew their membership in AARP, and she wrote a scathing letter to the AARP saying, hey, you guys are on the wrong side of things, and I don't want to read the whole letter, but there was a lot of high-level lingo in there that I'm not used to. So, at any rate, the bottom line was she was advocating that people don't bother using AARP. Find another organization that is more patriotic. So, and the other thing that I just was looking at my email, and I got an email from Wendy Rogers because I sent her a check for $5,200, right? And so she sent me a note back. She says, oh, you're gonna, if you look in your statement, in your bank statement, you're going to see that let's see, what is it? I'll get it here in a second. Wells Fargo mistakenly deposited your check for $52 rather than $5,200. Yeah, I thought to myself, that's pretty strange for a bank to not be able to get that right. So, you know, I'm just wondering how much collusion is going on. And it's a good thing that it got caught. I mean, it would have taken me a while to go look down and find that, but I was just surprised and just, I think it's a heads up that, you know, a bank could pull stunts like that even, and I'm not sure if it was intentional or a mistake, but in this day and age, like anybody could be doing anything, so there you go. Anyhow, I'm having my cup of tea before I hit the sack, and I'll be around for another few minutes, and nice to hear everybody tonight. W2GIO, back to you, Bob.
Nice to hear you, Frank. Enjoy your tea, kind of like an Englishman having a spot of tea. Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar, KJOI. Thank you, Frank. That takes me down to Mr. Russell. Good to hear you tonight, Russ, from the state of Georgia. Your signal looks good. KK4WXKA8JOY.
Okay, Bob. KA8JOY in the Liberty Net. This is KK4WX. Right back, and I'm don't have a lot to say tonight, but thought I'd check in and do a little bit of listening, and got in here a little bit late. But anyway, I hope everything's going well and everybody can hear me. I was just wanted to mention this lady. I think her name was Randy Weingarten. Randy Weingarten. And so I got to looking at this woman who is just filled with hate and just foaming, just literally foaming at the mouth, that she just bound and determined to force this critical race theory, CRT or whatever they call it, on our children. And she represents the teachers, one of the teachers' unions. And so everybody knows that this critical race theory is putting our children at odds. They're not, it's teaching the blacks to hate the whites, and it's teaching the whites low esteem, where they don't have any respect, and as a result, then later on when they get grown or whatever, then they try to do what they're doing now, and they're trying to, I guess you could say, erase history, or trying to tear down monuments and statues and cancel, what they call cancel culture. And it's quite alarming for me, but or getting kind of used to it myself, as far as being a son of a Confederate veteran. It's been going on for quite some time, and didn't seem like anybody was too worried about it, but then they started taking and defacing other statues and other monuments that was, putting other American heroes. So, you name them. I mean, you know, it didn't matter if they were white. They pretty well got the treatment. So, we'll see how all this goes. But this Randy Weingarten, that last name, Weingarten, I kind of I kind of was a little interested in it, so I sort of done a search, and it turns out that its origins of the Weingarten name, now I don't know if that's her maiden name or that's her married name or what, but anyway, it's German slash Polish in origin, but it's also a Jewish name. I don't have anything against the Jews. I think, you know, I certainly don't believe in anti-Semitic type thought, but I find it awful strange that many of these people seem to be involved in these kinds of issues, that they just seem to be wanting to run the country down, and they're wanting to run a lot of the white race down, and just, I don't know, I'm just totally confused, and if nothing else, then they seem like they want to go against their own kind. They cut their own throats. So, many of them are represented in the Democrat Party. I mean, look at this guy that runs the CNN News. I think Sean Hannity refers to him as Humpty Dumpty. But this guy is always on the wrong side of the fence, it seems like. And, I mean, I don't know. I think he might be Jewish also, but what in the world's wrong with these people? I can't figure it out. But I don't have a lot else to say tonight, Bob, but I just thought I might bring that out. It just seems awful strange. It's Randy Weingarten. And she's definitely foaming at the mouth and just whatever, you know, critical race theory. She's just got to cram it down our children's throats. These people want to be fired. And matter of fact, her salary, I think they were showing her salary on Fox News, and it was way up there, around $800,000-$900,000 a year. And the average teacher salary was, I don't know, somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000. So you can see when they get in these unions how much money's involved. So I don't know. If I was a teacher, I don't think I would want to belong to one of these unions. So back there to you, Bob, K-A-8-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate you joining us. And I don't think a lot of the teachers, I don't think they have much of a choice. If it's a unionized school system, you're kind of stuck being part of that union, over.
Well, you might be right. I don't know. It seems like they would be able to control their own representation. I mean, couldn't they, if the union represents them and the union is representing something that they don't believe in, it looks like to me they could do something about it. But then again, I don't know. I don't think it's necessary that you belong to a union just to get a job. I mean, now, a lot of the unions down here in the South have been kicked out. I mean, we just don't go along with their line of thought. I mean, it's either the union or you can go to you know where. But these unions are almost, they're getting to be just like, some kind of mafia or something. And they're always, why are they always on the Democrat side? Why are they always on the Democrat side, Bob? I can't figure that out. Why would I want to give my money to some organization like that? K-A-8-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
Well, that's a very good point. I agree with you, Russ. KK4WX, thank you. K-A-J-O-Y, I'll clear with you. Let me jump down to Mr. Flynn in Ontario. Victor Echo 3, Foxtrot, Juliet, Juliet. I know it took us a while, Flynn, but we finally got it. I'm up to you. Go ahead.
Hello.
Victor Echo 3, Foxtrot, Juliet, Juliet. Nothing heard from Mr. Flynn. How about Cyrus? Alpha Bravo 4, Charlie, Juliet. Mr. Cyrus, what you got?
The last guy put him to sleep. Jesus Christ, now talk about a keyer of the mic.
Down here
he's the key.
Alabama. And by the way,
like, man, he just went on and on and on and on.
You're excellent. You're doing fine. Just we can hear you good in Southern Georgia. You're loud and clear. KK4WX.
You know, it's just on and on and on that guy went. All I'm saying is, I'm back to listening, but I'm glad he's unkeyed because I thought he's never going to unkey.
Anyway, this is Cyrus from here in Selma, Alabama. And I was listening earlier when y'all were talking about the critical race theory. And then also, why is it that there's so many people that seem just determined to destroy the white people? And really, if you get right down to it, and I'm not trying to be hateful, but, you know, it's hard to find one rock stacked up on top of another.
I'm just trying to say there is no such thing as critical race theory. This is all a concoction to get us stirred up as a people and get us all worked up against each other. It's the man. There is no such thing as critical race theory. It's a fallacy. And it's just getting everybody all whipped up for nothing.
Shut up, drunk.
Hey, there's the king of unkeyers. Oh, my God.
But there is a thing, if you can look it up on the internet, it's called 16 identities. And the ID,
why can't we just come together like Jesus would say? Come together. This is all my power to be to take us over.
If you don't want to hear it, why are you here?
But that's not the way they feel about me. No, they hate us. There's no question about it. They absolutely hate us, and they will go to any means necessary to destroy us. And so like I say, I don't want to hog the station or whatever, but if you will get on the internet and look up something called Christian Identity, and by the way, there's a radio station on the doorway here. It's called Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR. Look up Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, and listen to a fellow called Pastor Peters. And between Googling and listening to Pastor Peters, you can understand why we're on the attack. Amen. Y'all take care. 73 is K-A-H-J-O-Y. This is AB4CJ.
Cyrus, thank you for jumping in there with us tonight. We appreciate your comments. AB4CJ, K-A-H-J-O-Y. All righty, I'm at the bottom of the list. I'm going to throw out another article from Epic Times. Americans are fleeing California and New York for Florida and Texas. After a study revealed that Americans are continuing to flee New York and California for places like Texas and Florida. Unfortunately, they'll take their bad habits and bad politics with them. Despite the 2020 pandemic this year, Americans are following similar moving trends as prior years. Millions of Americans are moving either to start a new job or move to a new home. Specifically, it is noted that Americans are fleeing California to Texas and Idaho, along with New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, and those three states are fleeing to Florida. Other states that have been seen in mass exodus of people are Michigan and the state of Pennsylvania. The top five inbound states in 2020 are Idaho, Arizona, Tennessee, oh, lucky you, Mr. Larry, South Carolina, and North Carolina, with Tennessee overtaking South Carolina from the 2019 results. North American van lines did not make mention of the widespread protests and riots last year or the pandemic. Crime rates in some cities have also spiked amid the defund the police movement that became popular in the summer of 2020. In major cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, New York City, and Chicago, shootings and homicides saw upticks in 2020 and during the first 6 months of 2021. So people are fleeing, but again, they unfortunately take their politics with them, and that's one of the bad pieces. So with that being said, let me go to the top of the list to Mr. Tim in Haverton, Pennsylvania, KC3, Papa Tango Charlie, KC3, PTC, this is KHOY. What do you have for round number two?
What is my qualifying going to be called? I checked in at the beginning of the net. What is my call sign going to be called?
I haven't heard your call sign. Mr. Tim. Jesse, do you hear Mr. Tim?
Negative, Bob. No copy here.
All righty. So I'm going to pass on Mr. Tim, KC3PTC. And go to Clint in Michigan, Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo.
Again, when is my call sign going to be called?
What is your call sign?
Shut up, Joe.
All righty, Mr. Clint, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm assuming, and you should never assume, I'm assuming that's your final comment, or are you going to stay around for the 73 round?
No, this will be my final one, Bob. I'm getting a little happy out here. Like I said, my work schedule has got me all over the place, so.
All righty, sir. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Thank you. KC8EHR, going to sign. Good evening to you. KHOY for ID. Down to Mr. Bill. KO4FE. KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, got a headline here. Fox News host says Native American land wasn't stolen. I'm glad somebody's finally said this. This is all Business Insider. This land wasn't stolen. It was fought for and won fair and square. Anybody says otherwise, pardon me, is free to give their land to whoever they think it was stolen from and go back to wherever their ancestors came from. But none of them have ever done that I know of, because they're just a bunch of hypocrites and cowards. Because if they really believed that, they would leave. But they don't do that. Well, anyway, let's get on to the story. It says Fox News host Jesse Waters went on the air Tuesday to say American land was never stolen. It was just won on a battlefield or bought. He says this land wasn't stolen. We won this land on the battlefield. And we bought it, right? We purchased Spain. I mean, we purchased Florida from Spain. Guest host Geraldo Rivera then asked Walters about Native Americans who lost an estimated 90% of their pre-1492 population over decades of violence and viruses they had no immunity from as Europeans kept arising. Waters said, well, what about them, Geraldo? We won that territory on the battlefield. It was an ugly, brutal battle, but we won it. We're not just going to give everything back to the indigenous people of this country. co-host of The Five, later doubled down on his comments during an appearance on the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show, the network's most viewed show. Yeah, I agree with Jesse Waters. It's about time somebody told the truth about this instead of this wallowing in guilt, self-hatred, babbling about stolen land. That's the biggest bunch of crap I ever heard. And if you think it was stolen, then give it back and leave. Unless you're willing to do that, then shut up. Okay, New York City's got some... Oh, God. I'll tell you what, these people vote for these idiots. Listen to this story. Manhattan's likely new district attorney has some truly radical pro-crime ideas. This is New York Post. Alvin Bragg appears to have won the Democratic primary election for Manhattan district attorney, making him the presumptive new leader of one of the most powerful prosecutor's office in the nation. Amid surging violence in Gotham, Manhattanites should be hoping that Bragg takes crime seriously. Well, when you hear his proposals and his campaign promises, you'll know that's not going to happen. But anyway, it continues. It says, but a closer look at Bragg's proposals tempers this optimism. Well, that's a very polite way of saying it. But anyway, that he wants the Manhattan DA's office to emulate the prosecutor's offices in Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and San Francisco should alarm NYPD and law-abiding citizens. These are precisely the offices inciting violence and disorder in their cities. A veritable murderer's row of prosecutors encouraging murder. Digging further into his plans reveals some truly radical proposals. First, Bragg will immediately begin de-prosecuting certain offenses, refusing to punish violators of duly enacted criminal laws. These would include resisting arrest, trespassing, fare evasion, marijuana possession, driving with a suspended license, and any traffic violations. What do you think's going to happen, Bob, where resisting arrest is no longer illegal? We can predict what's going to happen, but apparently the enough voters in New York don't care. But anyway, continuing with the story, it says Manhattan apparently must accept disorder on the sidewalks, streets, and subways, and police must prepare for resistance with every arrest. For those offenses that are prosecuted, Bragg announced plans to just about every offender to walk free the same day. He says non-incarceration is the outcome for every case except those with charges of homicide or the death of a victim, a Class B felony in which a deadly weapon causes serious physical injury, or felony sex offenses. Will offenders who shoot at people and miss, armed robbers who display a gun but don't fire it, drug dealers and felons in possession of firearms all be released the same day they're arrested? We won't have to wonder. Even more alarming, Bragg proposes virtually the same non-incarceration path for both bail and criminal convictions. Thus, these offenders will walk out of jail the same day they are arrested and apparently will never return. Bragg tops off these detailed proposals with the usual progressive mantra of ending mass incarceration, racial disparities, and police misconduct. He also pledges to hire as a member of his senior staff a public defender who will oversee implementation of new policies relating to declination and diversion, alternatives to incarceration, reentry, and, of course, restorative justice. So there you go. The idiots in New York City have voted for more of this crap, so I say let them have whatever they vote for. I'm not going to worry about New York City. I've been there a few times. I never want to go there again. And if they want to vote for people like this, then they can deal with the consequences. So what do you think about that, Bob? Resisting arrest will be no longer against the law in New York City. What do you think will happen there? KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Well, it definitely won't go well, but in the state of Virginia, they made assaulting a police officer a misdemeanor, where in most states it's a felony, including my state. Over.
Oh, well, I'm sure that will be the next thing, if he doesn't already plan on doing that anyway, because he already said unless it results in a death or a rape or something like that, he's not going to prosecute him.
Well, wait till they start going after the people in the city offices, the mayors and the different council people. Then they'll have a different outlook, because those people are all protected by law enforcement.
Well, we'll see what happens.
It won't go well, but again, I've been to New York City. I don't need to go back. God help them. That's what they're going to need, because that's what they want. So, KO4FE, thank you, Bill. KHAOY. I'll say hi to Laura and Marty, N2JTT and N2IRJ. Thank you for listening tonight, both of you. And now we're at Mr. Jesse, KG4, ZX in a C, KAAJONY.
Okay, thank you, Bob, and KAJOY and the Saturday Night Living Net. Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, this is Jesse out of the Beaufort State of Pennsylvania. Yep, it is Saturday night, and yeah, it's a madhouse out here. If you try to find any decent news, Bob, you won't find it. I mean, I tried to find some stories of something good that was happening. And you know what? I have not found it yet. But anyway, I'm going to go back into the Arizona State Senator. I'm going to talk about this story. Alpha Gateway Pundit, the Arizona State Senator. Georgia has proof of somebody admitting to running ballots through the ballot machine. And America just does not like cheating, ladies and gentlemen. And this story goes into this. As the Arizona audit concludes with double, triple, and quadruple checking the ballot total, the Arizona Senate is still waiting for Maricopa County compliance so that they may finally finish their full forensic audit of the Maricopa County ballots and equipment. The image below is straight from the Democratic Party platform. This inspection is a regular government function, and the people have the right to scrutinize their election. Tell that to the administration trying to run this country now. Anyway, the story continues. What happened to the government that worked for the people? The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and Democratic Secretary of State Katie Hobbs have done everything possible to hinder this investigation. The Great Way Pundit, Jordan Carradison, called Arizona Senator Sonny Barilli on Friday to quell the concern that they have created by Maricopa County and the Secretary of State. Geraldo says there's not a lot of concern about out there about adjournment Sendai. Not being able to obtain these materials from the county and the audit not being able to be completed, that's what some people think. So
to reassure us that the Senate will obtain this material and the audit will be completed. For sure, sure, everybody. I mean, it goes right back down to here. The fact we were not in session when we issued subpoenas back in December and then we renewed them in January. So these subpoenas are still valid. And this, our legislative authority of investigators do not end at CNDOT. We open this folder or case for you, and you will, if you want to call it that. Back in December, we issued the subpoena for the Senator Judiciary Committee once the audit is complete. That information is going to be back at the Senate Judiciary Committee for review. Well, anyway, the bottom line here is they're actually still waiting for the routers and other access of material that the Maricopa County is being neglecting to give over to the audit team, and this is what's holding it up. And it's just another stall tactic to keep the American people from bringing more election audits throughout the United States. All right, with that, this is KG4CXN, so Mr. Bob, thanks for running it. Thanks, Mr. Marty, our net manager, and to IRJ, and Ms. Laura, his lovely wife, Ms. Laura, into JTT, and everyone else on the net. Back to you, Bob.
All righty, Jesse, thank you, KG4ZX and C. Is Robbie home yet?
Negative. He must have had to work over.
All righty, I'm still checking on him, though. All righty, sir, thank you. I'll move down to Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee, where everybody's moving. N4ROQ, KAAJOY.
Yeah, they're coming to the hills of Tennessee there, Bob. Here's an article I found on the internet. It's that CPAC's going on right now. I think Trump speaks possibly tomorrow. But the news gentleman that spoke already, his name is Lonnie Jackson. He's the White House physician to three presidents so far. He's talking about Biden. He says Biden's senility a given, and Trump's doctor says White House now is an assisted living facility. He's confused, he's lost, he's disoriented, said Representative Lonnie Jackson, White House physician to three presidents. Lonnie Jackson is a Republican from Amarillo, speaks at the Conservative Political Action Conference at the Hilton on July the 9th in Dallas. That is today, or yesterday morning. So conservative activists gathering in Dallas this weekend, the belief that President Joe Biden has slid into dementia is an article of faith, like patriotism and the sanctity of life. He's confused, he's lost, he's disoriented, he stares off into space, he shuffles when he walks, he doesn't know where he's at or what he's doing, said Representative Lonnie Jackson, Republican of Amarillo, who served as physician to three presidents. The White House used to be a symbol of power and influence, and now, literally, every day, it's more and more looking like an assisted living facility. It's true. Moving on down. See what else he's got here. I believe that's all that he put in that. Put in that one. We'll see if I can find another one that comes up here. Trump should be speaking tomorrow. I got CPAC 2021 underway in Dallas. Former President Trump to speak at a three-day event. So he will be in Dallas to speak at the conference on Sunday. Conservatives from across the United States have gathered in Texas for CPAC 2021, a conservative political action conference Voters call it the largest and most influential gathering of conservatives in the world. Former President Donald Trump will be in Dallas to speak at its conference on Sunday. It's very encouraging to see a lot of different conservatives, even though our backgrounds are different and our jobs are different, we still have something in common. North Texas native Ellie Tradup said, "We're passionate about the future of our nation, and the way it's currently going is depressing." SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson said the three-day event is about identifying goals, also working to get on the same page. Part of it is the movement moving on from Donald Trump. Is it still dominated by Donald Trump? Wilson asked. How do the mainstream and more ideological insurgent wings of conservatism get along? Can they work together in the 2022 elections? Or are they going to be at each other's throats? So I came to CPAC to get the tools that I need to be able to continue to share the conservative message and the conservative values. Jackson said, "I understand we all have the same values, but many times we don't all say the same thing the same way. The event will include many big name speakers. In addition to the former president, the guests will also be heard from Donald Trump Jr., Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Attorney General Ken Paxton, several other governors, elected leaders, and more in Florida." "It's going to be a very long weekend, but it's a very good weekend," said Tradup. "The event is taking place at the Hilton and Toll in Dallas." Okay. And let's see one more here. Mo Brooks delivered the CPAC speech, reminiscent. Okay, moving down. Alabama Republican Representative Mo Brooks asked audience members at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Texas Friday if they are willing and ready to fight for America, echoing his controversial remarks ahead of the January 6th attack on it. Brooks is running for U.S. Senate with the backing of former President Donald Trump. Said during his speech Friday, "Our choice is simple. We can surrender and submit, or we can fight back against dictatorial socialists and democratic control." The Alabama lawmaker referenced soldiers in the American Revolution who fought a valley forward, adding, "That's the kind of sacrifice we have to think about. Those soldiers didn't fight the British, they fought for survival," Brooks said at the political conference. 12,000 Continental soldiers arrived. 5-6 months later, 2,000 died. Think about what they went through. Burying your brothers, your fathers, your sons, 10 to 15 a day, every day for 6 months. He went on to ask detainees whether America is worth fighting for and declared that the audience should do it. Do it, do it. Brooks' statement came months after he gave the speech. Earlier, let's see. But anyway, he's showing you around about these Democrat socialists. Just look at all the executive orders and all the things that Biden has done so far as president. He's gone against every conservative idea that Trump has expounded with, and he's turned it into a socialist country, no doubt. So back to you, Bob. Enjoying the net. We're from Larry in Tennessee and N4RO Cube.
Thank you, Mr. Larry. Appreciate your content. N4ROQ from the state of Tennessee, where everybody's now moving to. This is KHOI. Let's see, Mr. Frank. I'm back to you. I hope you enjoyed your tea. I'm curious, do you put honey in it or sugar? Whiskey 2, Gulf, Ida, Oscar, KAHJOY.
Yeah, W2GIO. I had to switch back to my normal antenna. Well, I put blackstrap molasses in my tea. How about that one? That's very healthy. And I just discovered something remarkable. I have up on my roof, I have a four-element
Quaggy that I built, and it's on my QRZ page. Well, just for the fun of it, the band was really very noisy tonight, and I switched over to the Quaggy antenna because it's antenna 2 on my rig here. And doggone it, if the noise level went dramatically so much lower, that it was just absolutely remarkable. And the tried rotating the antenna didn't make much difference. So I guess it's because the quad is a closed loop. And I tell you, it really significantly lowered the noise on this band. So anyhow, the other, I have some other news here. I get an email from, what's her name, the Brexit girl, and talking about how a lot of the unions, the teachers unions want to push the, where is it here? Yeah, this new education, social engineered educational bogus stuff here. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And apparently the teachers union is really pushing hard to do that. But apparently Florida has banned that using that education for kids, social engineered education. So anyhow, I'm not quite with it here. I worked too hard in New York today. So anyhow, I'm gonna leave now because I have to go to sleep. But I'm gonna leave everybody with some really good news. There is some good news out there, and that God loves us and wants to bless us. So there you go. And keep that in mind and tell everybody about that. That's really good news to spread around. Thank you, Bob, WTGIO.
All righty, Mr. Frank. I'm assuming you were trying to think of critical race theory.
Yeah, that's it.
All righty. I know in the state of Florida, the governor has passed K through 12 is going to have to take or is going to take civics classes and learn the differences between and know our history. So he is definitely fighting against this critical race theory. So that's a great thing. Frank, thank you. Good night. Thank you for joining us. And I will show you checking out. Appreciate you being with us. W2GIO signed, KJOY, takes me down to Mr. Russ, KK4WX, in the state of Georgia, KAHJOY.
Okay, Bob. KAHJOY and the Liberty Net, this is KK4WX. I've got another little old thing, I guess. I feel like I wanted to gripe about something that kind of irks me to no extent, but I don't know if you've ever heard of this woman. Her name is Candace Owens, but I'll tell you what, if you've ever watched any of her videos, she's spot on. She really is. I have to give it to her. Now, she's a black woman, but she's not fooled. She's not fooled at all by this critical race theory or whatever they call it, and all this cancel culture and anti-American wave and all this nothing more than socialism and Marxism all rolled into one that's being taught. But I was looking here at her email, and she's sent me an email, and it says, over the weekend, American athlete Gwen Berry turned her back on the American flag and the national anthem after winning a spot to represent Team USA at the Summer Olympics.
It says here, she says, I need you to sign our petition demanding the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee ban Gwen Berry and any anti-American athlete from Team USA at the Tokyo Olympics this summer. It's got a big red button on it that said sign now. I think I'm going to push that button or click on it and sign it. But it goes on, it says, after winning third place and a spot at the Olympics during the U.S. track and field trials, Gwen literally turned away from the American flag as the Star Spangled Banner played. She then draped herself in a shirt that said, quote, activist athlete. And later she said, the anthem doesn't speak for me. It never has. Close your quote. It says, poor oppressed Gwen, having to suffer through the national anthem while competing for a spot on Team USA. It says, newsflash, Gwen, representing the USA at the Olympics is a privilege. If you don't like this country, you don't deserve to represent us on the world stage. So then she says, Candace says, sign the petition if you agree. No anti-American athlete on Team USA. And of course, she got it signed. Thanks, Candace. So, I think I'm going to sign that because I remember seeing this gal on Fox News and how she just turned her back on the stage. And, of course, there was two other athletes that placed ahead of her, first place and second place, and she was third place. But she took all of the limelight. And the other two who done and performed better than she did, they didn't get any acknowledgement at all, but rather this black girl, this so-called Gwen Berry, she stole the limelight because, you know, that's the way the news media does. They pick up, they love that when somebody does something like that, just like Colin Kaepernick. To hell with these people. I tell you, if you feel like that, you know what? You don't need to be living in this country. You don't need to be here. You just need to go on somewhere where you think it might be better for you. But I haven't seen a whole lot of other countries in the world that will treat their people better than this country here, where they can have the freedom to get up and even act like this person. I'm sure if a Russian did this to his country, and they would, I don't know what they would do to him, but it probably wouldn't be very nice, as the same with many other countries. I just can't imagine. Why would you, I mean, if you don't like the country, why would you even want to represent it in the Olympics? Why? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? So back there to you, Bob, K-A-H-J-O-Y. And by the way, if anybody wants me to forward them this email so that they can sign the petition, I don't mind. Just look my email up. My email address is on QRZ.com. You go on QRZ on my page, KK4WX, you'll find my email address. You can send me an email and put your call sign on the subject line, and just ask to request the email from Candace Owens to boycott this person, or whatever you want to call it, sign a petition to get her off of the Team USA. So back there to you, Bob, K-A-H-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
KK4WX, K-J-O-Y. Well, I agree with you. Ban that wench off of the Team USA. And when it comes to Candace Owens, she is a classy, conservative black female She's often interviewed by Tucker Carlson. I think I've seen her interviewed by Hannity. And she has her own program. And she speaks often at colleges. And when someone brings some kind of racial crap, she has the facts. And she basically tells them to quit talking gobbledygook. Here's the facts. Bring me your facts. And we're going to say, oh, white supremacy, but what about all the blacks killing the blacks? So Candace Owens is a classy woman, Mr. Russell. You brought up a very good person, so thank you. KK4WX, KJLY. Let's see, let me go down to Mr. Cyrus. AB4CJ. Mr. Cyrus, what do you have to say, round number two?
Good evening again. AB4CJ down here close to Selma, Alabama. I especially enjoyed KK4WX, and I'm definitely going to have to send him an email. I just wanted to hop back on here real quick and say that the Christian identity is my big thing. I have a few firearms, and I am making some preparations as far as food and networking with other people who believe the way I do and everything. But when push comes to shove, I truly believe that Christian identity, the idea that the Bible is only the story of the black people, that explains everything in my mind. It explains where we came from. It explains why the archaeologists say that the first people were black. It explains everything. Just understanding, that the Bible is our story. It solves all the mysteries in the Bible. And anyway, that's another thing, and I don't want to tie up the frequency with religion, but if you'll study the Christian identity thing and listen to Pastor Peters on WWCR on shortwave, I think you'll come to understand it the same way as I do. We are under attack, and we're losing. We're losing right now. Our people are ashamed of who we are and what we are and what we've accomplished. And I have actually been asked to leave the church because I tried to explain to people, you need to keep your children separated. You need to keep your children and your grandchildren separated, or otherwise these other people, they look exciting to your children. They look interesting. They look like those other people are having fun, and your children are still children. They're going to follow those other people if you don't keep them separated. And they asked me to leave the church. So anyway, y'all take care and have a good evening. I really love listening, guys. K-A-H-J-O-Y, this is AB4CJ.
Alrighty, Cyrus, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your input. I'm at the bottom of my list. We're going to go through it one more time, so if you can, hang around. We'd appreciate it. So I've got one interesting article. It talks about some of the worst cities in America. And I just clicked on a few of them to keep them. Two of them are my own state. The one here says, Cleveland's unfortunate nickname is the mistake on the lake. And it isn't too hard to see why. 35% of the population live in poverty, and half those living in poverty are working. Nevertheless, it's also popularity bad for gun violence. Another one is Youngstown, Ohio. Used to be the third biggest steel producer in America, but it began downsizing in 1977, and since then it's steadily gone downhill. The city lost 3% of its population between 2010 and 2018, probably at least in part because of the high poverty rate and the horrid air pollution. Then this one, Trenton, New Jersey. If you thought we were done with New Jersey towns, and they listed quite a few, You're wrong. Trenton was once an industrial town. Today it has quite an issue with gangs, gun violence, and a high poverty rate of 27%. And then my last one I have is Reading, Pennsylvania. Is yet another city whose economy has struggled immensely after factories closed down or downsized, leading to mass layoffs. Out of the 88,495 residents, 36% are living in poverty, and 44%, almost half of their residents, are on food stamps, while 62% are still working. So they're working at such poor levels. Reading, Pennsylvania was named the poorest city in America in 2011 by the New York Times. I think there was 40 cities. It was kind of amazing. But I just thought I'd read a few of them. With that being said, I'm going to go to the top of the list. KC3PTC, Mr. Tim in Pennsylvania, I missed you on round number 2. Are you here for the 73 round? I'll say no. So how about Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KHLY for the 73 round?
Okay, KHJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. And once again, thanks for running the net. Had slightly more check-ins than normal. I could hear almost everybody for a change. Some of them weren't real strong, but I could still copy. So anyway, Joe Biden's at it again. Well, at it again. That's kind of a rhetorical statement because he never stops. At least his handlers never stop sending him out to announce some new anti-American policy. But anyway, this one, listen to this. This is Breitbart. Biden administration asks Americans to report potentially radicalized friends and family. Yeah, this is ridiculous. President Joe Biden's administration announced their plans to create ways for Americans to report radicalized friends and family to the government in an effort to fight domestic terrorism. There's one senior administration that explained the importance of stopping politically fueled violence before it started. He said, we will work to improve public awareness of federal resources to address concerning or threatening behavior before violence occurs. The official cited the Department of Homeland Security's If You See Something, Say Something campaign to stop radical Islamic terror as a domestic possibility. Now, I want to say something about that campaign. I don't know how many of you remember this, but they put out a bunch of videos, public service announcements, where they showed people doing suspicious things, and then they'd show a concerned citizen calling the police on their cell phones. Well, this was one interesting fact, not surprising, but interesting, about those videos was they never showed Muslims doing anything. All the people that were engaged in suspicious activity were all white people. So here they cite a program that they had to stop Islamic terrorism, but in the videos that they put out, they never showed any Islamic people. They always showed white people engaged in suspicious activity. So it doesn't matter what you do, it always turns out to be anti-white. White people are always the problem. Well, anyway, it continues. It says this involves creating contexts in which those who are family members or friends or co-workers know that there are pathways and avenues to raise concern and seek help for those who have been perceived to be radicalized, potentially radicalizing towards violence, the official said.
Biden began his presidency with a stark warning in his inaugural speech about the so-called rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront, we will defeat. On June 1st, Biden described the threat from white supremacy as the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Completely ridiculous statement. Reckless also. Biden administration said it would also work with large tech companies on increased information sharing to help combat radicalization. Any particular tech company often knows its own platform very well, the official noted, but the government sees things, actual threats of violence across platforms. They see the relationship between online recruitment, radicalization, and violence in the physical world. The Department of Homeland Security also plans to deploy digital literacy and digital fitness programs to help combat malicious content online that bad actors deliberately try to disseminate. That sounds like they're treading on free speech. I mean, just trying to disseminate any kind of content, unless it's criminal, is legal. The official reassured reporters that the administration's new strategies would remain laser-focused on stopping violent acts. Well, it sounds like they're going a little bit further than violent acts. They want people reported to... I don't know who they're reporting to. They're not saying. I guess Homeland Security, but they don't really say exactly. But anyway, they got their eye on you, folks. If you say anything against the Democrats, you're probably going to go on somebody's list. All right, now here's another one of those stories where the liberals are shooting themselves in the foot. I love these kind of stories. This is off Zero Hedge. It says, surprise, women's rights group urged Newsom to end prison transgender mixing after numerous attacks and rapes. Shocker. File this under another liberal experiment blows up that every rational thinking human could have seen coming. On January 1st, the law went into effect in California, naturally, foreshadowing Democrats' Equality Act bill requiring people to be treated according to their gender identity, not biological sex, holding that state prisoners must be housed in a facility consistent with their gender identity, regardless of their anatomy. 6 months later, guess what happened? There have been numerous complaints of assaulted, abused, and traumatized women at the hands of male inmates transferred into their prisons. You know, liberals not only being the craziest group in the country, they're also the dumbest. Anyway, continuing with the story, it says one group of traditionally progressive activists, the Women's Liberation Front, has sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom accusing the state of violating the constitutional rights of incarcerated women by allowing men into their living quarters to prey on the women. Wait a minute, what about the rights of the transgenders? Here we got the two victim groups battling over rights. Sounds crazy. Anyway, the Women's Liberation Front legal director, Lauren Adams, said, we are working with a woman who was punched in the face so hard by a new transfer that she couldn't chew for 3 days. He was taken away and released back in a different yard with no restrictions, Adams said. He was her cellmate. She had to sleep with him. Other women have been sexually abused in the past and must now contend with nude men sharing communal showers. One woman went in there, two naked men were showering who still had penises. It was incredibly traumatic and scary to know for the rest of their lives they're going to be subjected to this. Yahoo News reports that the state currently has 273 transfer requests. 266 are from people housed at male institutions requesting to be transferred to a female institution. And 7 are from people at female institutions requesting to be transferred to a male institution, according to the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Oh, geez. Currently, 24 male prisoners have been transferred to female institutions. Oh, God. Dude, I'm glad this is happening in California. They deserve this crap. In a shockingly truthful and sure-to-be-canceled comment, the Women's Liberation Front theorizes that many men transferring into women's prisons are not transgender, but are just trying to escape their current living situation. She says that a lot of these men checking the box and trying to get transferred are probably trying to save their lives. I wouldn't want to be in a men's prison. Yeah, most, I'd say virtually all men don't want to be in a men's prison. You're giving them a way to get out of that, but now it's the women who are in danger. Women's Liberation Front is asking the governor to halt all new transfers and remove the inmates who have already been transferred until a safety assessment can be made. Yeah. Well, wonder who's going to win out, the transgenders or the women. I don't know. Seems like the transgenders are winning everything. I think these women are going to have to put up with this for a while. I mean, but, you know, they vote for these crazy liberal politicians, so I guess that once again, they're going to have to live with what they vote for. So anyway, Bob, that's it for tonight, and glad to hear all the check-ins in there. And once again, thanks for running the net. So I'm going to say 73's to one and all. KAAJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI, telling the 15. I'll tell you a quick story. My agency, we have a jail. We can house 4 men and 2 women. We have a male pod and a female pod. We have 100 pages of jail practices. So I read all 100 pages, and if you're booking somebody in, you book them in per their driver's license. In Ohio, you cannot change your birth certificate. However, if you feel that you are no longer a woman and you're a man, you can change your driver's license. So in a local business, there is a person named Jordan. He's a biological female. He had his breast removed. He's taking testosterone. He cuts his hair like he's balding. He really does look like a dude. I mean, it's amazing. He walks like he's got his pants full of poop. I mean, it's like, wow. If you didn't know that Jordan was a girl, you'd say he was a guy. So, my question to my department. So, Jordan gets booked in, and he is a biological woman, but his license says man. So, I got Vito in the jail cell, and I'm going to put George in with him. So now, I know there's going to be a problem. As soon as George sits down on the potty to take a tinkle, old Vito's going to say, well, looky there, I can do that. And he's going to nail old George up against the wall with a schmeckle. And my department said, you are thinking this through too much. And that's all they said to me, over.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, the obvious is always, mystifying to these people.
Well, eventually, you know it's happening in California. It's going to happen everywhere as soon as that happens. So, and it's the obvious. I mean, you know it's going to go bad, but we'll just ignore it until it does. Interesting. So thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KAAJLY. Next is Laura.
and to JTT and Marty and to IRJ. Thank you guys for listening. That takes me to Mr. Jesse, KT4ZX Tennessee. Mr. Jesse, what do you have for your final thought?
Hey, Bob. Well, thank you, KU4FE in the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is KG4ZX Tennessee out of the Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania once again. Thank you, Bob, for running the net, and everybody sound good. Good evening, Larry, Mr. Russ, Bill. God bless each and every one tonight. Well, I want to finish up this story tonight, Bob, with a little bit of feel good, maybe. It's still a tragedy story, but still it has a little bit of a twist to it. Also, 100% fed up, ladies and gentlemen. This is the story for tonight. 12-year-old boy uses hunting rifle to shoot and kill armed intruder threatening his mom inside his home. A brave 12-year-old from a Louisiana boy came to the rescue of his mother when an armed intruder entered his home and threatened her life. Armed with a hunting rifle, the young man fatally shot the 32-year-old man, armed intruder Brad LeBlanc, who was later declared dead at a hospital. The report, the youngster who will not be charged, feared for his mother's life when he pumped a bullet into Brad LeBlanc. Anyway, the home invasion took place at 7:21 a.m. Wednesday in the 5800 block of Winchester Lane, east of Clinton. Clinton. Does that sound familiar? A lot of stuff goes on with that name. Alright, witnesses told authorities that 32-year-old Brad LeBlanc of Vidalia was armed with a pistol when he encountered a woman outside her home early Wednesday. Travis said LeBlanc forced the woman inside her home where a struggle broke out between them. The woman's 12-year-old son, who has been not been named by authorities, shot LeBlanc with his hunting rifle and feared his mother's life, Travis said. Anyway, LeBlanc, armed with the pistol, approached his mother, and that's pretty much what happened. The young man shot the crap out of him, and you know what? That's what needs to happen, and thank God for these Southern parents for letting them teach and train their child how to use a firearm early in life. So, hey, God bless that family, and I hope they don't go through any further tragedy like this. This is KG4ZXE out of the Vote for our State of Pennsylvania, and that is my final thought, Bob. Good evening, everybody, and hope everybody has a great weekend, what's left of it. Till then, this is KG4ZXE, back to KJONOY.
Thank you, Jesse, KG4ZXC, KJY. Isn't it interesting? Now, they're in the house, and that young man, he steps up and takes care of business. But every time you read an article, it says, they will not be charged. Years ago, the only thing you would see in an article, it was a justified shooting. But now we twist it around. There's a chance he could be charged, but we're not going to charge him. It's a justifiable shooting, but we won't use the word justified anymore. Over.
Well, I still feel like it's justified, regardless of how you want to sugarcoat this dang vocabulary in the English language and butcher it anymore. It's still justified, Bob.
It is, but we don't use that word. We always say, you know, they're investigating it, charges are pending, they will not be charged. It makes it sound like there's a little bit of doubt. The mother was being assaulted with a firearm, and the young man took action. That's justified, but we won't use those words. How sad. How sad. KG4ZX Tennessee, KJY.
I'm going to check with you one more time. Robbie, is he home or not?
Negative. He has not made it in tonight.
All righty. Well, I kept him on the list anyhow. Thank you very much for your thoughts and comments. Back to Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee. N4ROQ, Mr. Larry, KAHJOY.
Okay, thank you, Bob and Jesse. Don't have a whole lot more. I did find an article. I'm going to try to look up more about foreign countries that have been buying into the U.S. They do own a lot of great large companies like General Electric. China has purchased General Electric, Tesla. China has purchased Tesla. I bet you didn't know that. Many, many, many more. Waldorf Astoria, China has purchased that. Smithfield Farms, China has purchased that. There was I got up to about 30 to 40 different companies and different places that they've been purchased, a lot of them by China. And I said, man, I just need to sit down and write down all these and not try to flip through them on my phone. So, but you don't think these other countries own us? They own pretty much all of their assets. So I'll try to have a report on this very soon, what all that they own. They own a lot of gas stations, of course, a lot of motels, a lot of movie theaters. China has really got into purchasing most, in all aspects. So I'll try to find out more about that. But enjoying the net, and thank you guys, Bob, for running it. Good to hear Jesse, and thanks for all the things that you do, Jesse, also. And good to hear everyone on the net. Thanks for everyone participating. That sure makes a great net. So back to you, KAHJOY from N4ROQ.
It is really sad that we are allowing those purchases to take place. That gives way too much control to that country. I think if President Trump was still in, he possibly would step in and say, you know, that sale shouldn't go through. So, all righty, Mr. Larry, thank you. N4ROQ, KHOY. I'm going to go down to Mr. Russ for his final thought. KK4WX, KAHJOY, Mr. Russ.
Okay, Bob. KAHJOY. This is KK4WX right back. And yeah, I've enjoyed listening to everybody, and it's been a pretty good net. I wish I could have gotten in from the beginning, but we were a little bit late getting out here tonight, but nevertheless, was able to join, and I'm glad we did. Well, let's just keep our, the only thing I got to say is let's keep our, keep our hopes up and let's not give up. I think we can still turn this thing around. I'll tell you what, with this president we got, he really looks bad to me. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but they caught him in the store the other day, you know, and they asked him a question, and he couldn't answer it. He had to reach in his pocket, and he had several cards. He had to get a cue card and then try to answer the question. And I was just thinking, could you imagine how the news media would have treated Donald Trump if he had acted like that and just acted like he was on? I mean, the guy acted like a zombie almost. I don't know. He really acts like he's either terribly out of it or just on dope, or I don't know. He really does. He acts like he's on some kind of strong medication, and he's just, you know, not competent at all. The guy scares me. And I really don't think he is competent. And
look what's going on in Afghanistan right now, which I'm not a supporter necessarily of the Afghan war, but, you know, I don't believe in going in somewhere. If we're going to go in somewhere and get involved with a war or whatever, I think we ought to go in there and stomp the crap out of them. And when I mean stomp the crap out of them, I mean do like they did back in the Old Testament, what God told the Israelites to do when they went after certain people. God told them, said, wipe them out. Wipe them off of the face of the earth. And that's what needs to happen to these people over there. They need to be wiped off of the face of the earth so they won't come back and cause any more trouble. And I know that sounds harsh, but hey, don't believe me, just read the Bible and see what the Old Testament, what God recommends in the Old Testament. So I just getting in there and just like we did in Vietnam and playing games, political games, and, oh, well, we can't cross the Cambodian border, you know, because here the Viet Cong is running all up and down the so-called trail, and they're bringing all kind of weapons and everything else down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and we can't go across the Cambodian border, you know, that's against the rules. The hell with rules, you know, there's no rules when it comes to winning. You either win or you lose, and that's the way these last few wars that we've been getting involved with, or whatever they want to call them, that's the way they've been. We just somehow lost our way, and I believe, you know, when you go in, you go in there and you get involved in a war, you go in there to kill. You don't go in there to try to restore some kind of people's ways or something, or to convert them over. No, you go in there to take them over completely and destroy. And that's all. You go in there to conquer. And then nothing else, is, as far as I'm concerned, is acceptable. But now they got the Taliban. It seems like I've seen pictures where they're driving our pieces of equipment. Our equipment, these troop carriers and strike vehicles and all this and that, and all of these small arms and other kind of arms and stuff. And the Taliban has got them. And we're leaving all this munitions and everything over to the so-called Afghan government that we're trying to support and leave behind. But these people don't want to fight. They don't. They're just like the South Viet Cong or something. They throw the weapons down and run the other way. So they're not very reliant. And I don't see the point in leaving a bunch of munitions and everything else and equipment behind, because the enemy's going to wind up with it. So, like I said, I believe in when you're going to get involved in some kind of war or whatever, go in there and stomp the crap out of them. Like old Trump said, that's something I really, really enjoyed hearing him say. He said, leave it to me. He said, I'll bomb the shit out of them. And that's the way I believe. Bomb the shit out of them and leave them dead. Don't leave them where they can come back. So I know that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But that's the way I feel. And I guarantee you, my dad, he landed on Utah Beach, Normandy, France, and fought the entire European campaign with Patton's Third Army. And I guarantee you, he wouldn't have seen it. He wouldn't give the Germans any slack or anything like that. One other thing I wanted to mention was Cyrus, AB4CJ. I wanted to let you know, Cyrus, I am a Christian.
and believe in Jesus Christ, and that's my Savior. So I don't know. I do listen to WWCR quite often. And most of the time, I really, at 10 o'clock at night, most every night, I tune in to WWCR out of Nashville to catch Alex Jones and InfoWars. That's a really good show. Any of you people that might want to catch old Alex Jones, he's broadcasting live. Oh, I guess it's live. I don't know. It may be a recording, but he comes on at 10 o'clock Eastern time on WWCR, and it's 4-point-something megahertz. I can't remember. I've got it programmed here in my Yaesu radio, so I just push the button, and it goes over to it. But I'm sure you can look up the schedule on the Internet. And you were talking about this identity, Christianity, or something like Christian identity or something. And, you know, there's another, there's several shows I like to listen to on Sunday mornings. And one of them is by the Philadelphia Church of God. And I don't know if you've ever watched that show. It's called The Key of David. Key of David. But I think, you know, they got a book that tells about the United States and Great Britain. And I've got that book somewhere, but I've read part of it. And I think it's sort of hitting in that same area that you were talking about. I'm not an expert on any one thing in the Bible, but I just know that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he's our Savior, and I do believe that he died on the cross and was arose again, and he's living today, and he will return to pick up his bride. So that's all we're going to say about that for now. But anyway, enjoyed it, Bob, and we hope to see you again here next Saturday night, if the Lord's willing, and all of you take care, and God bless, let's stay strong, and let's support our country, and try to respect our elders and our forefathers, and all the representation that they've laid down before us, and try to keep our country free and protect the Constitution. KAHJOY from K4WX. Good night, Bob.
Thank you, Russ. I got a comment, though, from what you said, KK4WX, KHOY. The frequency I think you're referring to is 4.840 for Alex Jones. And you having a father that served in World War II, you have knowledge of the way he stood, the way Patton stood. I'm the father of a son who served 3 times in Afghanistan. And under Barack Obama, there was 400 or 500 soldiers a year died because of the crappy rules of engagement. Under Donald Trump, less than 20 soldiers died a year in that Afghanistan war because he would bomb the shit out of them and kill them. With this Taliban, we're going to see them rise again, unfortunately, because the Afghanistan National Army that my son fought next to does not have the fire in their belly to protect their own stuff, and they're laying down their arms. And it saddens me that I lost a child on his third deployment to Afghanistan under that Barack Obama because of the crappy rules of engagement. But we're going to leave there, and they're going to take and get strong again, and that's going to be an asset for America. Over.
Yeah, I'm really sorry for your loss, Bob. There's not a, you know, there's just not any words that anybody can say that would I'm just lost for words on that, and I couldn't imagine your pain having to lose a son like that, and all. And I tell you, Obama, he's nothing more than a communist. Everybody knows it, and they're just too afraid to come out and tell it like it is. But yet, you know, we're so much of a racist country, you know. We're so racist, but if we're so racist, then how in the world could we ever elect a black president? That's what I'd like to know. That don't even make good sense, does it? And now we supposedly got a black vice president, which I don't know what she is. I know she's married to a Jew. She's married to a Jew, but yet she supposedly is black. And she just seems to me like she's a laughing hyena. All she wants to do is smile, big smiles and laugh and giggle and whatnot. This is the saddest state of affairs I've ever seen this country ever in. I just hope we can overcome it, and I believe we can. We're just going to have to... bear down and really fight back. We're just going to have to, that's the only way, the only words we can really use is we are not going to take it anymore. We're going to fight back. So, Bob, again, my condolences to you, and there's nothing I could say that would even begin to express the loss that you suffered there, and my heart goes out to you, my friend, and certainly my prayers do too. KAHJOY from KK4WX.
Well, Russell, thank you. KK4WX, I can tell you my son was a well-decorated gunnery sergeant in Special Operations Command in the United States Marine Corps. And along with probably you and Cyrus, at some point in time, I have hope, and I believe I will see him again, along with his mom, who I was widowed when he was 9 years old. Life is a journey, and we keep on going forward. But it was wonderful to have that young man for the 28 years that God let me have him as my child. And America lost a great soldier, but I smile when I think of that kid. So thank you, Russ. I appreciate your input tonight. And last on my list, hopefully Mr. Cyrus is still here. So AB4CJ, Mr. Cyrus, this is KHAY for your final thoughts.
I do appreciate it.
Something other about what it's like to fight our people.
these people.
They can tell you a little something about it, too. There was a million Chinese soldiers come across the border and was backing up the North Koreans. And a million Chinese soldiers had a hard time handling the United States Marine Corps and the United States Army and the Air Force and all that. And before it was all over, they went home with their tail between their legs. And you want to talk about what our people are like when we get roused up? Yeah, go over there and talk to some people in Europe. You know, we destroyed the home continent twice in the last 100 years. Destroyed the home continent twice. You know, I mean, that tells me right there that you know, we are the ones you don't want to mess with. And I believe that. I mean, with all of my heart, we are the ones you don't want to mess with. But we'll be okay. The authority's on our side, and I get the head to the end of the book. And when I got the book, I found out that we win. So, y'all take care and have a good evening, and God bless. Liberty Net, I'm sorry. This is AG4CK.
Thank you, Cyrus. Thank you for your input, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Liberty Net. With that being said, I'm going to jump up and see if my cohort in being a net controller, if Mr. Jesse has any additional comments. KG4CX and a C, before I close the net, do you have any other thoughts?
Pick up the other station real quick, Bob.
If you can hear them, you pick them up, because I just could hear a sound, but I didn't hear what they said.
Okay, very good. I could not tell. I'm sorry about that. I couldn't tell if he was checking in or not. Station on frequency, trying to check in. Try it one more time. I'll see if I can pull you out. Okay, K0, Charlie Golf Charlie. Oh, Whiskey 0, Charlie Golf Charlie. Name and location. Well, I appreciate you coming by there, what was the name up there in Ohio, sir?
Jesse, it sounds like he's in Kingston, Tennessee, and I think the first name is Chris.
That's what it is, Jesse. It's Chris in Tennessee. Over.
Okay, roger, roger. Thanks, Russ, and thanks, Bob. Yeah, Chris, we got you in there, and yeah, you was talking about Bob up in Ohio. Hey, very good, Chris. Anything else you want to add? Well, thank you, Chris, for coming by, and hope you come back Wednesday night and next Saturday as well. We're always here at 10 o'clock, so don't be a stranger. Anyways, Whiskey 0, Charlie Golf Charlie, 7-3, Chris. Clear with Whiskey 0. Charlie Golf Charlie out of Tennessee. That's Mr. Chris. Clear with you. Hey, Mr. Bob. Well, the only thing I got to finish up tonight is I really do miss hearing Mr. Mo tonight. We did not hear him. But if you're out there, Mr. Mo, we're thinking about you, sir. God bless you. And God bless each and every one on the Liberty Net tonight. And thank you, Bob, for running the net. And I recommend everybody still keep your powder dry. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So God be with each and every one, and God bless them, this great country. Back to you, Bob. They're closing that out. KJLY, KG4ZXC.
All righty, Jesse. Hopefully, Mr. Moe will be on the air shortly. I know he's going to put his tower back up, and I'm working on getting him an amplifier tube. So we will get the Moe so he's transmitting hard and strong. With that being said, as I close the window of this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to Silent T, W1WCR, Mr. Victor. God bless you for starting the Liberty Net. W9FAM, Mr. Vern. He was a strong voice. K-E-H-I-N-E, Jim from Michigan. I do miss his stories. K-N-4-C-F, Robert. I didn't know him. N-3-G-V-A, Mike. W-2-W-C-W, Frank. W-H-M-P-B, Harvey. K-4-G-A-R, Harrison. KB2-D-Y-B, Dennis. K-2-L-O, Eugene. And K-I-2-J, Mike. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country. May God bless all of you that participated tonight in the Liberty Net and those that are listening. God be with you. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Oscar Yankee. Good night.